on the Radio 3 website, as usual. Well, the theme in next week's programme is Ancient Greece. Words and Music next Sunday evening at the same time, 10:15, here on BBC Radio 3. We're broadcasting between 90 and 93 FM. We're on digital radio and also online. It's now 11:30 and time for this week's edition of Jazz Lineup, presented by Claire Martin.
Hello. On today's programme, highlights of a concert set by saxophonist Paul Towndrow, featuring his project called Newology, recorded at this year's Glasgow International Jazz Festival. And I hope you'll stay with me for the next hour and a half for a jazz journey soundtracked by Kenny Wheeler, Aaron Gosch, Ella Fitzgerald, Brad Meldow and plenty more. Well, to get the wheels in motion, let's get on the right track in the company of one of our national treasures. It's Georgie Fame.
Get on the right track, baby. Get on the right track, baby. Get on the right track, baby. Come on home and treat me wrong again. Get on the right track, baby. Get on the right track, baby. Get on the right track, baby. This time, girl, come right on home and treat me wrong again. Don't you know that I love you, baby? If you don't stay, get on the right track, baby. Get on the right track, baby. Get on the right track, baby. You better look out, girl. Come right on home. Treat me wrong again. Don't you know that I love you, baby? But yet you broke my heart in two. Please, please come back home. I wanna spend my life with you. Get on the right track. That's what I want. Get on the right track. That's what I said. Get on the right track. You better look out, girl. Come on home. Treat me wrong. On the right track. What I say, get on the right track. What I say, get on the right track. This time, girl, come right on home. Why don't you treat me wrong? You better look out and come on, come on home and treat me wrong again.
Get on the right track, baby, featuring the irresistible groove of Georgie Fame and setting the scene for today's show. Well, Georgie is just one of the acts booked to play at this year's Canterbury Music Festival, currently in full swing, which runs until the 30th of October. And Georgie performs at the Gulbenkian Theatre on October the 23rd. With more than 20 albums and 14 hit singles under his belt, it's a chance to see a true living legend, so not to be missed. Let's keep the momentum going with an exciting new release by one of the most forward-thinking and at times seemingly anarchic big bands that have emerged from the UK's jazz scene, Loose Tubes. Formed in the early 80s and featuring players such as Django Bates, Steve Berry, John Paricelli and Ian Ballamy amongst their ranks, they proved to be an exciting proposition live and became the first jazz orchestra to perform at the BBC Proms back in 1987. All of their albums are currently out of print, so it's with great excitement to hear that Dancing on Frith Street, which is a live album recorded at Ronnie Scott's, has just been released on Django Bates' own Lost Marble imprint nearly 20 years after the band had disbanded. The recording captures the band playing at the top of their game and documents the group during their last week of live activity in 1990. So from the album Dancing on Frith Street, this is Discovering Metal. Exploratory sounds of Loose Tubes with Discovering Metal from a highly anticipated CD release out now, and it's on Django Bates' Lost Marble Recordings. And Django will be in collaboration with The Bad Plus during this year's London Jazz Festival at King's Place on Saturday, the 20th of November. And belated wishes go to Django, who recently celebrated his 50th birthday. But from an established name on the jazz circuit to an emerging talent, clarinetist and bandleader Aaron Gosch. Conceived in Calcutta, bred in Bolton, matured in Manchester and now based in London, Aaron's brand of jazz is informed via the languages of hip-hop, Indian classical and folk forms, as well as the influences from the world of punk and the avant-garde. From his tantalising debut album, Northern Namaste, this is Bondu. From his album Northern Namaste, out now on Komoiko Records, that was Aaron Gosch with Bondu. Aaron and his band will be performing at this year's London Jazz Festival on November the 20th at the Claw Ballroom at the South Bank Centre with saxophonist Shabaka Hutchins. Outhouse are also on the bill and Jazz Lineup will be there to record the entire concert and we'll bring it to you over the coming months. For nearly two decades, guitarist Bill Frisell has been one of the most singular voices on the landscape of contemporary music. His music has straddled many genres, including blues, folk and country, but jazz has always been a constant source of inspiration to his work, and his latest project, Beautiful Dreamers, recorded in a trio setting, sees Bill team up with Ivan Kang on viola and Rudy Royston on drums. The musicians give a fresh makeover to a number of standards, including Benny Goodman's Tea for Two and Stephen Foster's Beautiful Dreamer, as well as this blues classic from Blind Willie Johnson on It's Nobody's Fault But Mine.
Thank you.
two pioneers of electric guitar music. First up, Bill Frisell from his brand new album on Savoy Jazz, Beautiful Dreamers, with It's Nobody's Fault But Mine. And that was followed by former Miles Davis collaborator, the Yorkshire-born John McLaughlin, taken from the legendary 1970 album My Goals Beyond, which has just been re-released on Douglas Records. Recently compiled from recordings sourced from the BBC Vaults and available now on a lavish two-disc CD-DVD set are some of the most powerful performances vocalist Ella Fitzgerald ever committed to tape. The release includes two sets of TV shows from 1965, Show of the Week and Ella Sings, a concert at Ronnie Scott's Jazz Club from 1974, plus there's a Montreux Jazz Festival performance from 1977. It's a real treat for Ella fans old and new, and here she is on mighty form with Something's Gotta Give. From the recently released Best of the BBC Vaults. Of course, that was Ella Fitzgerald with Something's Gotta Give, and that's out now on Voyage Digital Media. I really hope that label manages to unearth and compile more jazz treasures from the BBC's rich archives over the coming years. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin, on FM, online and on DAB Digital Radio. Shortly I'll be joined by saxophonist Paul Towndrow to navigate us through some of the edited highlights of tonight's concert music, which was especially recorded for Jazz Lineup. The set features repertoire from Paul's Newology project and was recorded at this year's Glasgow International Jazz Festival. Towndrow is one of the UK's most active jazz musicians and performs regularly with the Scottish National Jazz Orchestra, Brass Jaw and his various combination of quartet and sextet projects. Well, to set the scene, and before we hear from Paul, here's one of the tracks recorded at the Glasgow Jazz Festival on the 21st of June, featuring Steve Hamilton on keyboards, Ewan Burton on double bass, Alan Koskas playing the drums, Mark McKnight on guitar and Paul Towndrow on sax. Here's his own composition, Heroes of Transit. Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Heroes of Transit, performed by saxophonist Paul Towndrow's Newology Project, featuring Steve Hamilton on keyboards, Ewan Burton on double bass, Alan Koskas on the drums, Mark McKnight on guitar and Paul Towndrow on sax. Recorded at the Stereo Nightclub as part of this year's Glasgow International Jazz Festival. And it's my pleasure to have Paul in the Jazz Lineup studios. Give us a bit of background on Newology. How did this particular project come about?
Well, I'd been working for quite a few years with quite a standard sort of acoustic rhythm section lineup, and something that I'd always wanted to incorporate into music and into performance and also into writing was guitar, and I'd never really got round to it. My dad played a bit of guitar, and I guess that kind of had an early influence on me, and guitar's always something that I wanted to investigate for.
Yeah, it's a slight departure because you've added the guitar, I guess, as another layer. So how did you source the players for this project, and who are they?
On the album, we've got Mike Walker on guitar. Mike's somebody that I'd wanted to work with for a long time. Anybody who knows Mike knows that he's just this huge personality, and that really comes through in his playing and in his music, and in the music that he writes as well. On the live project, the track that we just heard there is Mark McKnight, who's for me one of the most exciting musicians to be coming through the scene at the moment.
And Alan Koska, of course, he's on drums. He's quite prolific now, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, Alan and I have been kind of hanging out since we were kids. and we've kind of done a lot of playing together. And I think that kind of long-term musical relationship makes it a bit easier when you step on stage. You don't have to use so many words. You just have to get on with it and do the job. And Alan does that brilliantly well. He's a tremendous musician.
And Steve Hamilton's playing keyboards. Is that throughout the album? Is that in Fender Rhodes I hear there?
Yeah, we had a Fender Rhodes, you know, and that was another sort of new element that I wanted to add. This kind of thing that bridges the electroacoustic gap.
So tell us about the writing. I mean, are all the pieces written by you?
A lot of the writing that I've been doing recently has been for Brass Jaw, which is a four-piece unaccompanied horn section. So that becomes a more involved approach in terms of making things more through composed and accounting for more elements of the music. Less of it can be left for improvisation and for players to sort of comp parts of the arrangement. You have to be able to account for everything within the composition, more or less. With writing for rhythm section, I always feel very kind of spoiled to have great players around me to make the ideas that I come up with sound good. I'm always very sort of pleasantly surprised by how good they can make even ideas that I had some uncertainties about make them sound really good.
Great. Well, before we play the next track, tell me a little bit about it, because it's called Over the Fourth, and I immediately thought, oh, it must mean the river, but it's not. It's spelled differently.
It's spelled differently, yeah. It's partly in reference to the kind of harmony that's involved there, so it's a little bit of a musician geek kind of viewpoint, but
you foxed me.
I'm sorry about that.
Let's hear it now. Paul Towndrow's Newology and Over the Fourth. Thank you. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin, and that was Over the Fourth, performed by Paul Towndrow's Newology Project as part of tonight's concert set. And I'm pleased to say Paul joins me in the Jazz Lineup studio for some more insights into this music. So tell us the name Newology. What's
Well, I think jazz musicians have always liked their ologies. And I think it was the music was kind of written at a sort of personal transitional period for me. I'd just turned 30. So I was kind of going through that sort of little thing of trying to come to terms with being that little bit older, and I comforted myself with, you know, this idea that as you grow old, you don't necessarily grow old. You can new things start to come to light. And
that's right. You keep thinking that too.
Yeah, I kept telling myself that. You know, it's a couple of years on now, so yeah, it seems to be working well so far.
And what about your inspiration for writing? I mean, you talked about it sort of, you know, bringing in new flavours, the guitar element and the Fender Rhodes. I mean, who inspires you and who inspires your writing for this project?
I tend, when I go to write new music or conceptualise a new project, I tend not to try and force the idea of a single inspiring voice too much and just let melody kind of come through. I think this project was largely a melody-driven project, and so... You know, a lot of players like, Pat Metheny is quite a big influence as somebody who can really take very, very strong melodic ideas and make them sound as if you feel that you've already heard them before, but you know you haven't. And as a composer, I guess, I'm kind of largely influenced by that area. Mm. As a player, I've come out of John Coltrane and Charlie Parker and... you know, a lot of the usual voices, but really I think it all just, it goes into this one big melting point, and whatever comes out kind of comes out, really.
So how many gigs have Newology actually done, and what kind of audiences are you attracting?
Right across the board, actually, in terms of audience. I mean, one of the things that I really, you know, is a sort of personal kind of ethos for me, really, is to try and bring jazz to a younger audience, and for me a lot of that is through presenting it in a way that's kind of palatable to them without necessarily compromising the music itself.
Mm. How do you do that then? Are you talking about the actual instrumentation? Like people think, yeah, funky Fender Rhodes, or we can dance to this?
No, not really. More in terms of, I mean, for me, the music that I write, I always try and make it as honest as I can make it, and try not to contrive it to attract a particular age group, if you like. But I think the way that you can, I mean, you can package swing music, or you can package traditional jazz, or you can package any genre to any age group if you present it in the right way. And I think a lot of that's to do with how you engage with things like social media and the internet.
I was going to ask you about that. I mean, you're a band leader. Do you use that? Do you rely on that a lot? And do you find that quite a pressure, because you need to be not only leading the band and writing the music, you've also got to be doing, you know, all the admin and the e-flyers and the Facebook. I mean, it's quite a lot of hats to wear, isn't it?
It is a lot, but one of the things that I think is quite important for artists now is, I mean, artists are, by their very nature, creative human beings. And I think when you discover that you can combine creativity with that kind of industry and that kind of you know, with things like marketing and all these things that are considered dirty words for artists.
Well, they're just time consuming, aren't they? And also you need to know what you're doing, and it's a completely different skill. For some people it's very hard.
Sure.
So talk about any future concerts we can come and see you and support Newology.
Between now and the end of the year, I'm focusing my attention on Brass Jaw. So we're going to be playing London Jazz Festival, and we're going to be doing a whole load of things in and around then, and we should have a new CD out before Christmas. Newology, there's going to be some new stuff in the new year, so just look out for further announcements.
Yeah, well, you'll bombard us with your emails,
of course, right?
Your social networking. Well, let's talk about the final track then, Paul. It's called Rosa. It's from the album Newology. Ryan Quigley features on this track, who, you know, we've talked about Brass Jaw, your collaborator. Tell us about this track to finish with.
I put myself in a sort of seclusion to write the music for this album on the Isle of Arran. And there's a Glen Rosa there, and I had a bit of writer's block, and I went out, and it was the middle of January. And I went as far up Glen Rosa as I possibly could until it was too cold, and then I came back down again.
Very poetic. Very poetic. And here it is. Well, thank you very much for coming in, Paul. The best with Newology. It's fabulous music, and we look forward to seeing you very soon.
Thanks
for coming in.
Thank you. Ryan Gregory at the trumpet. Alan Cosker at the drums.
Rosa, the final track from today's edited highlights of our concert music from Paul Chandra's Newology project. And the band featured Paul Chandra, of course, on sax, Steve Hamilton on keyboards, Ewan Burton on double bass, Alan Cosker on the drums, Mark McKnight on guitar, and on that track, trumpeter Ryan Quigley. And thanks to Paul for coming into the Jazz Lineup studios today. And you can hear Brass Jaw on the 17th of November when they play the Purcell Room. Well, with only a few weeks to go until the London Jazz Festival gets into full swing, it's with great anticipation jazz fans look forward to welcoming American pianist Brad Meldow onto these shores. On November the 13th, the Barbican Centre will host the European premiere of his grand new work, Highway Rider. It'll feature the Britten Symphonia, conducted by Scott Wu, and Brad's musicians will include saxophonist Joshua Redman, bassist Larry Grenadier, and drummers Jeff Ballard and Matt Chamberlain. So from his latest album, Highway Rider, this is Always Departing. Brad Meldow's beautiful Always Departing from his latest album Highway Rider on Nonesuch Records, which is out now. Well, that's almost it for this week's show. On next week's Jazz Lineup, we present highlights of a concert set featuring master trumpeter Wynton Marsalis and the Jazz at the Lincoln Center Orchestra, recorded in 2010 as part of Glasgow's International Jazz Festival. But plenty more jazz on Radio 3 with Jez Nelson on Monday nights at 11:15. And this week, Jez has Norwegian-Swedish group Atomic recorded at the Vortex, as well as sessions from Kenny Wheeler and Norma Winston. So as a taster, let's close tonight with Canadian-born Kenny Wheeler, who's celebrating his 80th birthday this year. With a string of dates across the UK, he's going to be starting out on October the 21st at the Anvil in Basingstoke, and then he'll go to Southampton and Manchester, Leeds, Gateshead and Belfast. From his glorious album Song for Someone, featuring a stellar cast of musicians including guitarist Derek Bailey and sax giant Evan Parker, this is Toot Toot. From me, Claire Martin, until next time, bye-bye.
And welcome from me, Susan Sharp, with you through the night on Radio 3, and delighted to have your company. The music of Henry Purcell gets us underway again this morning in a second concert from last year's Utrecht Festival. It's a mixture of his songs and fantasies, with a performance of his magnificent Ode to St. Cecilia as the centrepiece. The Innsbruck Festival Chorus with assorted soloists will be singing that. The Ensemble Phantasm are playing the fantasies for viol consort, and we'll hear soprano Carolyn Sampson, accompanied on the theorbo by Elizabeth Kenny in the songs. They're starting the concert with Bess of Bedlam, a mad song with its characteristic depiction of a woman driven insane by lovesick grief.
Spirits move on.
From Silent Shades and the Elysian Groves, or Bess of Bedlam, from Purcell's fourth book of Choice Airs and Songs, published in 1683. Caroline Sampson was singing with the oboe player Elizabeth Kenny. Phantasm are playing some of Purcell's music for viol consort next, three of the four-part fantasias he produced after a period studying older music. Purcell was the last great composer to write in this form. That group of four-part fantasias by Purcell was performed by Phantasm. Over half the 80 or so vocal pieces by Purcell in the collection Orpheus Britannicus, which was published after his death in 1698, are theatre songs. He wrote Sweeter Than Roses for a play called Pausanias, and it's not as innocent as it might sound. It was intended as a steamy song of seduction, sung by the courtesan Pandora. Sweeter Than Roses, a song Purcell wrote for the tragedy Pausanias, Betrayer of His Country. Carolyn Sampson there with Elizabeth Kenny. And here they are next, performing When First Aminta Sued for a Kiss, Purcell's setting of words by Thomas Durfee, describing a young girl weakening in the face of her lover's advances.
Him away from the bliss, my eyes declared my heart.
Carolyn Sampson singing When First Amyntas Sued for a Kiss. The theorbo was played by Elizabeth Kenny. In just over 10 minutes, we'll return to the Utrecht Festival for more Purcell, a performance of his ode Hail Bright Cecilia. But in the meantime, here's some music by Benjamin Britten, who was one of Purcell's most devoted admirers. Early in 1932, Britten wrote a fantasy for string quintet, fantasy here spelt with a PH, which he entered for the Cobbett Prize and won it.
Thank you.